Monday, I set about searching for profound statements about love. I needed one in order to express my love to someone. Now, not all that I found were suitable. I only chose one on Monday for the purpose of my search. But once I had found that one, then the thought came to me, give the full results of your search to your friends on Wednesday night. And so I asked myself, should I do that? And I said, yes, that would work quite well. To which another part of me answered, then do it. So here we are tonight, dealing with the subject of love. If another theme were chosen, for example, the theme of service, then all that I would say would be epitomizing service. And the ultimate emphasis of the night would be service. And I'm well aware that life is like a diamond made with many facets. Tonight we're looking at the facet of love. I will be giving and reading quotes that I have found when I went to various sites on my favorite resource. What's that?
Google.
Oh, got it. I'm not really into it as much as I led on. But now you may wonder, well, why aren't you... Why have you chosen to not list the authors? Because some of the names we don't know, and therefore they would mean nothing. And some of the others we would not like. And even if what they say is true, in order for us to not avoid a true statement because of who spoke it, I don't give their names. Okay? The statement is true, regardless of who said it. You know, the devil uttered some true things. Now, we know in his case, he only spoke partial. And surely, if we were to hear what the rest of these, you know, some of these thought, we'd be like the devil. But what I'm sharing tonight is true. First, and I quote, "The first secret to loving others is to immerse yourself in a love relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and abide there." Stay there once you've immersed yourself in it. Very true. I don't think anybody here tonight would dispute that. John 13:34 says, and I've typed these out. If you want to look them up, you may. I've typed them out because of how many there are. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." An instruction from God Almighty. Secondly, I quote, "A man who loves others based solely on how they make him feel or what they do for him is not really loving others at all, but only himself." That's selfish. And indeed, you can't be selfish and love someone, because you'll destroy the very thing you propose to be doing. Yes, indeed, it's true. If it's based solely on what you get, it's not love that the Bible talks about. Third, it is easy to talk about how much you love God, but loving others reveals how much you truly do love God. Let me repeat that. Because I know some of these, you know, you're hearing them and it's not like your eyes get glazed over. We're not into it that long yet, okay? So your eyes aren't getting glazed over, but your ears could, okay? It's easy to talk about how much you love God. Is there anyone here tonight who would say that they don't love God? Of course, we would all claim to love God. But loving others reveals how much we truly love God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You say, well, I don't hate them. Oh, now wait a minute. You see, when the Bible uses the love-hate contrast, it is not always in the sense of the most extreme and the most extreme. And therefore, you don't have to hate somebody like we think of hate today in order to be guilty of this verse. Easy to talk about it, but God knows. And therefore, if we think, well, I just won't let on. Let on to who? Oh, the one that you're supposedly loving that you're really hating. Well, give it up, because God's the one that matters anyway. And then this quote, I'm so close to saying who said it each time, so used to that. But I quote, happiness is not the result of circumstance. Okay, letting that sink in. Happiness is not the result of circumstance. It is the result of loving others. Things are going right. Not having any problems. All is the way I'm comfortable with. I'm happy. No. Happiness is not the result of circumstance. It's a result of loving others. And I've got another quote that's going to coordinate with this one. The result of loving others. Because if you love others, then whatever other kind of circumstances come along, you still have the love for others. The circumstances will change. But if you have love for someone, that's built, as we're going to see, on the scriptures, you've got it. You've got it. You can hold on to it. Next one. Loving others in a biblical manner. Oh, that gets our attention. Boy, now that's where we ought to be, preacher. Forget some of those others. Truth is truth, okay? Loving others in a biblical manner involves your thoughts, words, and actions, and is a sign of your being a disciple of Christ. Loving others involves your thoughts, words, and actions, and it's an evidence that you are indeed a Christian.
Amen. True.
John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I can tell you who said that. That was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And he says that you're to let it be known that you're a Christian by loving others. Loving others biblically is dependent on your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and is not dependent on people. Okay? You're loving someone else comes from your commitment to Jesus Christ. And it's not dependent on how somebody else is treating you. It's not even dependent on how they treat you.
Amen.
It comes as a result of your commitment to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now here's the other one that coordinates. Loving others biblically is dependent on your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and is not dependent on people, circumstances. Okay? In other words, if I love you, it doesn't matter whether I'm having a good day or not. I love you.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't matter whether my car went on the fritz. That isn't going to make me happy. Okay? But it isn't going to change how I feel about you. You're not the problem. My car is. Why would I be unkind to you? I'll go out and be unkind to my car. You know, that's when you kick the tires or grab a wrench and wish you hadn't after you throw it through the windshield. When I say I love you, okay? When I say I love you, it doesn't matter what my circumstances are. I love you. And that's how it ought to be. Definitely between husband and wife. But this is not limited to husband and wife, parent and child. It's the way it ought to be within the body of Christ. Am I always happy about the things that I hear of you doing? Well, I'm about as happy as you are about hearing some of the things about me. But we're still brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And not only is it not dependent on people, circumstances, and here's the last one he says, or your feelings.
Amen.
So you woke up today and you didn't feel the best. Ooh, welcome to life. You expect to wake up always feeling on top of the world? You know better than that. It's so unrealistic. You know, a lot of our problems is because of mismatched expectations. And so, Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing, love one another. Love one another. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love. Walk, not meaning actually, you know, feet moving, but being used to describe how we go about living. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's how we're to love in a biblical manner.
Amen.
And I am here to tell you it is wonderful. And I'll have more to say about that.
Amen.
And then finally, and I can tell you who the author of this one is. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That's John the Apostle in his first letter. Love one another. Do you love me? I'm going to sense it. I'm going to be aware of it. You don't have to tell me, though.
Right.
It's okay. It's okay to tell me. And I've got more to say about that, too. But let us love one another. Because love is of God. Now, as you meet and relate to people, when you first meet someone and you get acquainted, you will reach a level where you will be able to say, I like that person. And that's a good level. That's an okay level. to be able to say, I like that person. But the more you interact with them, interact means they to you, you to them, the more you interact, you will reach an even better level. You know what that is. Going from like to love. There are different levels of love. Okay? I love Tim. I love Randy. But that's different than the way that I love my daughter Nina, who comes on a Wednesday and has lunch with me on her work break. Okay, different levels of love. Here, within the congregation, because of the different relationships that various people have with each other, there are different levels of love that exist between us. Don't ever expect that you're going to be loved the best of anybody. First of all, that's self-seeking. And love eliminates that. But we have different levels of love. And you see, when we don't understand that, then we have a wrong expectation. And then we get disappointed. We get disheartened. We get discouraged. And that's when we can just quit in this business of love. I think the whole thing's a farce. At church, they talk about love. But nobody ever loved me. God, I got you coming, okay? I got it covered, all right? Yeah. So if you want to be loved, next one. If you want to be loved, start loving others who need your love. Now, we don't know this guy's name, and even if we did, I couldn't pronounce it, okay? Indian at best, if not some other person over in that neck of the woods, okay? If you want to be loved, start loving, now listen, others who need it. We all can go ahead and achieve loving others when it's somebody we get along with, when it's somebody we like, when it's somebody who we'd like to like, yeah. When it's somebody that we'd like to like us, okay? Then we have no trouble. But this fella said, start loving others who need your love. Hey, so that sort of fits with the biblical concepts, doesn't it? And again, you see what's being forfeited with this approach is not being selfish. Love somebody who needs your love. I'm going to talk to you about a two-way street. You know what two-way streets are? We drive on most of them, okay? All right, now, next one. And this is in blue, okay? That highlights it for me. And maybe, I've actually come to think it is, but maybe this quote that I'm going to give is why God put loving so heavily on my mind so that I might find this quote. Now, I had another need that had to be met. It had to be met. And so I went and I looked. But God may have initially put on my heart to meet that other need because he was also going to meet my need. But see, isn't that love? There was a need that I wanted to meet. And so as I went about to meet that need, God said, I'm going to meet one of yours, Roger. So it could be so I'd find this quote. It for sure endorses the love that I have for others. And I admit to reading this with tears in my eyes. And when I read it, I had to go back. I must have read it 3-4 times. I finally stopped reading it so I'd stop crying. quote, anyone who knows how scary it is to be alone can't help loving others.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone who knows how scary it is to be alone knows why you need to love others. To which I would add, but you don't love them to meet your needs. The people that I love, I don't love to meet my need. I love them for their needs.
Amen.
Okay? Because if I love them to meet my needs, that would be selfish. You love them because you love them. Because of what you can give to them. But that leads me to the next quote. The one that I searched for, the one that I found, the one that I shared. Quote, if you always let yourself love others, you'll get back more than you give. I must repeat that. Listen. If you always let yourself love others, you'll get back more than you give. And friends, I am a living testimony to that truth. And I am so appreciated that the love that I have gotten back, I honestly don't know where I'd be without it. Now I must go back 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, August, September, October, November, December, January. 7 months. Okay, I remember we had that. It was back then that I started praying, Father, you know bearing this burden is almost impossible. You know, Father, I want to need help. And night after night, I would pray and I would plead with God many times in tears to give me help. And when I began loving others, that's when God began to put back into me. That's when I, and it all came into focus, I think it was last Tuesday. It really did. I don't know where it was driving, but it all came into focus. He answered your prayer through such and such. You say, well, what's such and such? If I wanted to tell you, I'd have told you right out.
Right.
I said such and such because I'm disguising it. Tricky, ain't I? Oh, my lands, folks. I honestly don't know where I'd be without the love that I've gotten back.
Amen.
God has answered my prayer for his help through such a two-way street. I loved the person loved me. Now, it might have been the person loved me and then I loved the person. I'm not sure which one initially went first. I think it was probably pretty close together. But the whole point is, what one gave, the other one got back. Is that what you need in your life? Then pour your life out into the life of another person. Find someone who has a need. That's what the relationship I'm talking about did. They saw a need in me, and I saw a need. And God said, I'm going to meet both your needs. But you see, if you're just looking at a one-way street where it's just what you can get and what you need is all that matters, you're only going to get a one-way answer. If you try and go both ways in a one-way street, what happens? Accident. Crash. And that's so in our lives.
Amen.
If we try to go both ways on a one-way street in what I'm talking about, we're just going to end up a casualty. And then you'll end up disgruntled with God. And then you'll miss this Sunday, and then you'll miss 3 weeks later another one, and then there'll be a Wednesday night that something had to be done, and then after a while, we'll miss you. Hey, friends, do like Paul said about, I forget which fella, who stayed at Crete, one of his co-workers, and he said, I have left so-and-so at Crete to stay by the stuff.
Oh, David, with when they're going to fight?
No, this is in the New Testament.
Oh.
If you think of it, shout it out, okay? Well, speak, okay. But yeah, it's a New Testament man. Paul said, I have left so-and-so at Crete.
Oh, at Crete? I thought you said Creek.
Oh, yeah, no, Crete, C-R-E-T-E.
Right.
Okay, very good. Okay, now, last one. But, oh, let me tell you, that one I just gave, if you always let yourself love others, you'll get back more than you give. I'm telling you that works. I can tell you all of it works. But I can tell you that works.
Amen.
Now, I've got to get back over here to my other notes. I should have took them along, but I could have started over there. Thank you, Jen. Poor Jen. She's one of the few people that gets my humor. All right, last one. The degree to which we openly express our feelings, should be governed not by fear of reprisal or what someone else might think, but by our commitment to loving others. Many people have a problem with expressing their feelings, especially verbalizing their feelings, and particularly men. Well, men just don't do that. They don't express themselves. I know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that you don't love if you don't say it. I'm not saying that. If you think that I'm inferring that, then you are being defensive. I am asking, why not tell another man, man to man, I love you. You know, when I first wanted to express such a feeling, I was awkward. I never did that. And so what I would do was something that I heard that found that, yeah, this is the way I can do it. I love you, Tim, in Christ. You see, we tag on in Christ, and then it just sort of softens it. And there's nothing wrong with that statement. And I would use it. And though it was true, I was just using or adding in Christ for my purpose. I really was not trying to focus on Christ. I was just wanting to say, I love you. You're a man. So if I added in Christ, and I didn't feel quite as queer. Yeah. In our circle, it is easy to have a phobia of being queer Or at least I might be thought of as being a homo if somebody hears me tell another man I love them. John and Samantha, John Mark, he's not John, that's John, John Mark, and Samantha got back from their travels to Tennessee. Now, when I saw Samantha, I just gave her a big old hug, okay? And, but when I saw John Mark, I gave him a hug.
Amen.
Yeah. Did you think I was queer when you saw me give John Mark a hug?
I don't see a flag on you.
You don't see a flag on me. Okay, I'm going to cover that, too. I'm going to cover that. Well, I not only gave John Mark a hug. Now, it wasn't as big a hug as I gave Samantha. First of all, he's too tall. I have to reach up. She's the right height. But I gave him a hug, and I said, John Mark, I love you. I missed you. But you see, we're not comfortable doing that because we really are concerned about... Now, you know why that is when we're concerned about that? Because that's the thought we have in the back of our mind. Okay? And I decided that my manhood was not going to be threatened by an expression or what people might think. I'm more man than that. I may not be able to beat you up, but let me tell you something. Manhood is made with more than muscles.
Amen.
I'm glad about that.
Amen.
And listen to this. Homosexuals and lesbians have no ownership of that terminology. Mark it down. And while I'm at it, I'm not going to relinquish my Bible ownership of the rainbow.
Okay?
Didn't somebody say that before? I don't see a flag on you. Okay? We had those colors before they did. There. I said that. Oh, one more verbal thing about verbally expressing it. Give compliments when compliments are due. Why not tell someone when they've done something you liked or benefited from?
Amen.
Don't be reluctant to give a compliment.
Right.
And the flip side of that is how to receive a compliment. My dear wife taught this to me when she observed me struggling when somebody would give me a compliment. Oh, no, it really wasn't that good. Or no, so-and-so could have done that better. She drew me aside. Oh, and I knew when she drew me aside, something was coming. I didn't know what, but I knew something. She drew me aside and she said, Roger, when somebody gives you a compliment, just say thank you.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, that was so simple. Now, she told me she learned it because, as you know, she played the piano. Well, people would come up and give her a compliment about it. And then she would set out with the usual disclaimers and denials. And then the Lord spoke to her. She said, and he said, I gave you a talent. I gave you an ability. Use it for my glory. And she was. And therefore, how from there she came to the point of learning to just say thank you. I don't know how it was, but she taught me. And boy, did that simplify that. Okay? And besides, listen, when somebody gives you a compliment and you deny it, think about it. They just gave you a compliment, and now what you're saying to them is you don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's not what I mean, but it's what it amounts to. So just say thank you. Thank you for listening. You had no choice, did you? Well, you could have gotten up and walked out, but we'd have all looked at you and scowled as you went. All right. We are through tonight. Thank you for listening. on live streaming.
One of these nights,